Karina Press and Harper Audio present Signal Boost by Alyssa Cole. Performed by Karen Chilton. A quote from Amiri Baraka. And now, each night I count the stars, and each night I get the same number, and when they will not come to be counted, I count the holes they leave. Chapter 1. The sun usually rises at about 6:20 a.m. on a late May morning in upstate New York. Daybreak wasn't even a pink tendril on the horizon when the baby started its nightly howling. I would have been annoyed if I hadn't already been awake. If this was before electricity and modern society had stopped working, I would have dealt with my insomnia by scrolling through my smartphone, checking out dudes I would never have the nerve to contact on the latest gay hookup app. Or I would have turned on my gaming system, eager to explore vast worlds and be the hero of at least one story, even if it wasn't real. Now, when I couldn't sleep, I simply stared into darkness, waiting for something, anything, to break the monotony. A crying baby would suffice. The perpetrator of our nighttime wake-up calls, nicknamed Stump, for his short little appendages, and because his mother hadn't given him a name, quieted for a moment, but then released a wail that rivaled the best of the Motown divas. I couldn't blame him. Honestly, I'd be screaming too if it wouldn't totally freak out everyone else in the house, which was packed tighter than a game land the day a new Jack Carjacker video game dropped. The guest list at Che Seong now included my wonderful but meddling parents, my older brother, Gabriel, and my best friend Arden, who spent most of their time projecting sexual tension at each other, and my teenage sister Maggie, who was constantly redefining the meaning of mood swing. There were also Darlene and Stump, the woman and baby we'd taken in after she and her husband had held my parents captive. Yes, we were one big post-apocalyptically happy family, trapped in a house in the middle of nowhere, as we tried not to think of our dwindling supplies and the fact that society had not returned to normal as we'd hoped. That was enough to make anyone holler. But instead, I had to keep my fear and anger bottled up inside, like a grown-up. Maggie stirred in her bed across the room from me, but her mutant teenager ability to sleep through anything meant Stump's cries wouldn't awaken her. Her mass of long, dark hair was pulled into a messy bun atop her head, revealing a face that was a strange mixture of child and woman. What kind of life would Maggie have if things didn't change soon? One of isolation, where she was married off to the neighbor boy for a dowry of expired candy bars? I sighed and threw off my blankets, running a hand through my tangled hair. It was getting too long, resting on my shoulders now, and I'd have to ask Arden to give me another trim. I kind of wished she was still bunking with me, mostly so I could hear the string of expletives she was inevitably muttering as the baby cried out. But she'd moved into Gabriel's room down the hall, now referred to in hushed tones as the shag zone. The only thing keeping her from strangling Darlene for her poor parenting skills was the fact that she was blissfully besotted with my older brother, and that she'd already killed the woman's husband. I mean, that was awkward enough, as far as living arrangements went. Still, I heard the door of the shag zone open and Arden's sleepy steps as she approached the room now inhabited by Darlene and the baby. She didn't bother knocking anymore, since retrieving the baby and comforting him had become a nightly routine.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?